It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of September, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it fun of you listening today. We are live from the partially appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is Wednesday. Welcome to day 12. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. It's the Rick Emerson radio program here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. And so forth. If you want to come on today, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's exciting radio broadcast. Or as my old friend Charlie Maxton used to call it, if you'd like to be part of a radio program, it's 503-733-2970. If you want to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick, I got to take this phone out of my pocket. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Yeah, come if you'd like to engage with us electronically in some fashion. All right. Well, I have some other things to... I got this whole pile of gossip we didn't get to yesterday. Sarah and I had this brilliant idea yesterday that we were going to set aside the 11:45 to noon segment every day and get to a big pile of celebrity crap, and then we never got to any of it. So it's right here. Try to get to some of that today. And we have a... Now, the picture can't be seen by anybody because Vlogger's given us a little difficulty, but there's the best photo of Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz. And it's what filmmakers call forced perspective, which is how they used to make monsters look huge in old 1940s films. It's where you hold a cockroach real close to the camera and a guy stands 100 feet away, and then he turns and he goes, wah! And the cockroach looks like it's about 100 feet long. There's a picture of Justin Timberlake where, seriously, he looks like he's got just the most overactive thyroid you could possibly imagine. He looks like he's about 80 feet tall, and Cameron Diaz looks like a little tiny miniature woman.
I have the second best picture today on my website. It's the president meeting the president of Iraq yesterday, and it's hilarious.
It's who meeting who?
President Bush meeting the president of Iraq.
Whoever that might be at this moment in time.
Just his expression is hilarious.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to go and look at it now. My reaction will be broadcast live here on the airwaves. And TimRileyMedia.com. Opening.
Oh, my God. That's classic.
Isn't it classic?
Oh,
it is not Photoshop.
It is
from the AP.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, yours did not. Oh, it's coming on yours.
What's up with that guy? That guy's huge.
He really is huge.
Hey, look at the expression on the president's face.
Wait, I think he thinks he's going to be eaten. Oh, this, you know, this picture. And this is the president of Iraq?
Yeah.
All right. Seriously, he looks...
He's well fed.
He really is. He's been hanging out with Greg Glover. I didn't say that. That's right.
Ricky, you've got to lay off.
I'm sorry. No, it's only because I said that yesterday, and then somebody emailed me, and they're like, do you mean Greg Glover on 94.7 in the morning? And I had to email back, and I had to point out that he's not really that huge. The Iraqi president, though, is goddamn enormous.
Where do they find a car big enough to put him in?
Jesus. You know what this looks like? This looks like that old SNL sketch, The Wide Ends, with Jane Curtin, where she has the ass. It's like 40 feet across. Oh, okay, I know that we're spending multiple minutes here at the top of the hour talking about a thing that none of you can really see.
Well, a lot of people are online.
I mean, a lot of you use that the internet now, the interwebs, which is a series of tubes. You go to TimRileyMedia.com, and this is really, absolutely screams out for a captioning contest. So, you just go, have you seen the photo?
It's not coming up
would
on
you
my
like,
computer.
Would you like
yeah,
to, okay,
yeah.
Shut your eyes. No, dude, close your eyes. Okay, now open them.
Look at
great?
The expression on the president's face.
Yeah.
That's the greatest picture ever.
Isn't that genius? That photo's wonderful in about 15 different ways.
Is that real?
It's real. It's real. No, I think we learned a long time ago that there's no need to electronically alter anything the president does.
They get a half dozen good ones every day.
Seriously, I mean, that guy, the only problem with George W. Bush is trying to keep up at this point. He's sort of like a... He's sort of like a political Henny Youngman in that way. He's just spitting them out constantly. All right. Well, maybe later on we'll... See, how great is that photograph? I encourage everyone with an internet connection now. Go to TimRileyMedia.com. Now, unlike my own site...
That totally beats the Justin Timberlake picture.
It really does. Tim Riley Media will probably not come up as blocked due to alleged pornographic or quote... somebody told me yesterday...
We haven't had any lately.
Now, see, your photograph, your page doesn't even have any nudity, though. Well, neither does mine, I guess.
Well, it's sometimes.
Some
but...
revealing cleavage every now and then.
Yeah, a nipple flip here and there.
Really?
That happens.
All right. Later on, we're going to find, because somebody told me that my page is also blocked at their workplace due to, quote, gruesome content.
Well, you can probably go to it through my website, which has a link on the left hand
side. Hey, why don't you do that, kids? Go to Tim Riley.
Back door.
Stick it to the man. Skirt the powers that be by going to timrileymedia.com and look at this fantastic picture of the president being assaulted by, he's sort of a large, gloop-looking kind of man.
He's very oddly shaped.
He's big for an Iraqi, too. I thought they grew Iraqis smaller. I thought Iraqis were an underfed people.
No, he was rewarded for his loyalty.
Seriously. I think he got his position by eating several presidents that came before him. All right, there you go.
Not a meme.
Yeah. All right. 503-733-2970. Rick@RickEmerson.com and so forth. I apologize for the Greg Glover comment. That was, I shouldn't have said that.
Here's I got a lot of emails from people at Entercom going, I'm going to tell him.
No. Here's the thing. Greg, if you're listening, you do a fine radio program.
He never listened. I don't think he's still, I don't think he does.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Yeah,
he's not listening.
No, he's not that big. But here's the thing is that Greg.
He has gotten a little bigger.
He's gotten a little larger.
Not as big as the president of Iraq.
No, he's really not. Well, that's a gold standard that can never be matched by anybody. No, here's the thing is that when we first met Greg over at Entercom, he was real thin.
He looked really wafy.
He looked like one of those guys, like one of those Strokes, Hives, White Stripes.
Exactly like the guitarist for Rockstar Supernova, for the house band.
Which is not Sasha, but some other guy. The guitarist who is furthest to the right, if you were watching the Rockstar Supernova house band, back when we did those kinds of things, the guitarist who was the furthest most to the right, it looked exactly like Greg Glover from Entercom. And so that's kind of the picture you have in your head of somebody. And I'm sure that the weight got put on gradually. I'm sure it's, or maybe, there were always lots of free croissants over at Intercom, so maybe that's to blame. But then we ran into Greg at the, and I'm no one to talk, by the way. My weight fluctuates. Look, I got no hair and I'm hideous, so really, what are you going to do with that? But we ran into Greg at that Willamette party, and I remember it was right after Byron Beck grabbed my buttocks for the second time, but before he came around and cupped my unit for the first time.
Oh.
It was like sort of the interstitial window between those two happenings. And then, do you ever do this when you meet somebody, though, and they've kind of put on
not
some weight?
Not
that. No. Yes. Haven't you ever cupped a guy's junk when you've met him? No, if you ever do this when you see somebody and you haven't run into them for, 6, 7, 8 months, and you do that double take of because you have several layers of your brain that kick in. The first layer of your brain is the, this is so-and-so. And then the second layer is where you, like, you spend that next 2.5 seconds rifling through your mental Rolodex and bringing up sort of T-1000 style in your central processing unit in your head what they looked like the last time you saw them. And then you contrast the two, and then you have the appropriate reaction. And sort of this is, and so it ends up being this, when you meet somebody who was real thin the last time you saw them, and then less thin now. Sometimes it happens the other way around, but usually it's they were thin. Now, not so much. And it's sort of a, hey, and that's exactly the sound
of it. What happened to you?
Yeah. And then
that's the worst, though. I always get nervous after not seeing someone for a long time because they see me during my really skinny stage. Have I gained weight? Have I lost weight?
Here's the thing. Most of the people you meet now probably last saw you on television. So I'm not saying that you've gained weight or stayed there. I'm sure you're much thinner now. I'm sure you're thinner every single day, Sarah.
Well, since I get to ride my bike now.
And I'm just saying that regardless of how thin you may or may not be, you always look fatter on TV.
Complimentary lighting.
Well, everybody looks fatter on television. I mean, regardless of whether it doesn't matter whether you are or not. You have to tell, it's the whole thing, the camera, makes you look fatter. So everybody you see now, they have an unnatural benchmark
that's
by which they're measuring
you.
You
can go ahead and gain that 15 pounds.
I'm saying you could actually put on 10 pounds now and you would look exactly the same to them. It would be a wash. You really have a 10-pound window before they would notice any difference in you at all.
And I'm totally eating pizza at Dante's
tonight.
That's
what I'm talking about. And they got that buttery crust there,
too.
Oh,
my God. That stuff is so good.
It's fantastic. I wonder if he's calling just to hear his sounder. Bruce Agler, a former Godlike program director, is calling. I don't have his sounder ready, though. Wait, well, okay, Bruce, you have to hang on just a second.
Oh, I sent you some jingles.
You did. We have classic Tim Riley sound we're going to be getting to, by the way. We'll get to that today. Before I do anything else, let me find my mailman. Here we go. This is our mailman sounder. Welcome now.
Is the person in your neighborhood.
Welcome now, our good friend, Mailman Chris, official stenographer. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. You're
sounding a little hoarse lately. You know that weird Cambodian death flu, do you?
No, it's just a combination of, you know, not taking any days off. That tends to mess with you a little bit.
Saving up for a new cat?
Yeah, that's not
enough. You already got a new cat.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. And my wife named one of them Lucas.
Really? Did she?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a black cat with a white stripe running right down the top of its head. So
that's
it's named it
cute.
Lucas.
All right. Well, there's some
it
sort
did
of...
that before he won.
There's some sort of a Warner Brothers joke to be made about that, but I don't know what it is.
What's the other cat's name?
Rocky.
Rocky and Lucas.
My kids named it because it got into a fight with one of my older cats, and it got the snot kicked out of it, and it had a bloody nose, and it just kept going.
Cats have
this is
kind
how
of
people
a,
feel when we talk about our dogs.
Seriously, cats have kind of a bad time of it at your place, don't they?
Well, it was cat on cat violence.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Tell your kids not to get too attached to that cat, because you never know. So
it's a tough little guy.
All right. Well, here's what we're gonna get through today. Today at 1 o'clock, I have started to, and this by the way, because I got a long, I won't call it a lecture. He lectures with love. I got this long series of observations from Bruce Egler, former Godlike program director. And they all kind of took the form of like, these are the following ways in which your show is terrible. But I am going to try to start scheduling things at sort of more specific times during the program. Because I noticed that lately, there was a time when I was doing real well at getting stuff taken care of. And then that time, it slipped away again, like soap down the drain. So coming up at 1 o'clock today, everybody's, I'm waiting, send us for God and everybody. At 1 o'clock today, we will talk about, at long last, because I can no longer take the emails about it, everybody's favorite mystery commercial, which is the superhero stuff spot. We'll talk about that. We will have vintage Tim Riley sound today. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we will update the Encyclopedia Emersonia. We're going to get to that today, which is, and somebody suggested that I call it, and I can't even say it out loud without grimacing, somebody suggested, why don't you call it the Wikipedia? And that's not going to happen, because that makes me sound like I'm a
reader.
Yeah, but see, but if it's Wikipedia, then that implies that it has to be public and everybody's allowed to edit it, and that way it just lies all kinds of problems. I mean, I would be, because then it has to be, because the thing about Wikipedia is it's a publicly alterable, and A, I don't even know how to do that on the webpage, and B, it seems like that's... It seems like that's just leaving the door open for all kinds of unpleasant observations.
Why don't you
just
take the name and not let people comment?
Maybe. I'll do like Tim did, where the comments were enabled on your site for like a day, and then you came in with the iron fist of God and turned them off, which is the same thing I did on my site years ago, by the way. I used to have a comment section. Same thing with like us. That lasted about 5 hours, me off.
Well, what happened with me was... Somebody savagely attacked me on vacation, and you're having a good time on vacation. Then you come back, and you realize that people have been destroying you on your own website while you have been on vacation. That will not be allowed. It will never happen again.
You're there. You're on the sands of Barbados.
Yeah.
Lord, did you know that Tim Riley went to prison for meth? You know, or just some craziness.
So you come home, la da 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 da, big vacation, log out of my web. Oh no, this will never happen again.
I remember Lycus, man. Lycus just went on the biggest rampage a couple years ago when he turned off the comments, and he had a chat room too. He had a chat room that ran out of sight. And I remember, it's off. I've closed it. It's never going back up. Little goddamn web geeks, and he just like 45 minutes on that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Because when it comes down to, I pay the bills around here.
Well, that, and it's like, you go to any sort of a message board or comment board or guest book or anything like that now, and you go there, and it's just a whole lot of like, are you unable to maintain erections? Please, you know, and it's like a lot of like weird medical spam and crap that you get in there.
Or stocks.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, so we're going to be updating today the Encyclopedia Emersonia. So if there's a term we use on the show you don't understand, if there's an inside joke you've never gotten, if there's something we do in the program you want to know the origin of it, or just something that you sort of, it's sort of a primer or primer, as the British say. And you can go see the old outdated version, which is up there now, where it explains like what FMAT is and all that kind of stuff. But I realize every day that we get further and further into this new version of the program. There's all kinds of crap that we've never bothered to explain to people. So in the 2 o'clock hour, we will be updating the Encyclopedia Emersonia. I will also today play that new Weird Al Yankovic song. And I want to say this preemptively, by the way. It was noted by the many vigilant members of our audience, God love them, good looking out, as the kids say, that the Weird Al Yankovic song was heard on the... other radio programs and a different radio station yesterday by someone who is not in favor with our audience in the best of times. I should note, though, in everyone's defense, that the new Weird Al single was actually mailed to a whole bunch of us by the guys in the engineering department. That was not a thing that was just sent to me. So I have to call off.
You're saying this is a station in our little cluster.
I didn't say that. Yes. So I have to say that I have to call back the Hounds of Hell that is the Rick Emerson audience. It's not that was actually wasn't just that's not an exclusive to me that was sent to a whole bunch of people. So you hear that being played elsewhere? Perfectly okay. It's okay. But I appreciate the peeping out on my behalf.
Awesome.
All right. Did Lars play the Weird Al song?
Yes, he did, actually. No, goddamn. You know what I heard last night? I heard that George Norrie show, that guy that replaced Art Bell. Isn't that the guy who does Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie?
Well, I haven't listened to that show for so long. I listened to Art Bell Let Me Down by leaving then coming back and expecting me to come back the second time.
I listened to it by accident. Boy, that's the worst program I've ever heard. That's like jamming the Red Hot knitting needles right into my ears.
Let's get it for weekend.
And then the other night, Art Bell himself was on, and I thought he was gone.
He is. He's living with that young lady.
He's not. I heard him on the other night going, and he was talking about,
a bag floating in outer space.
I swear to Christ, Art Bell was talking about a ritual in which a guy had to kiss the severed buttocks of a goat. I swear to God. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were eating.
Well, he moved to another country
where that sort of thing is acceptable, nay, even fashionable. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
The president is called the devil in front of a United Nations audience. There's a mysterious plastic bag in outer space threatening the space station. A Portland attorney no longer represents Dr. Death. And there's a bizarre foot licking at Walmart.
Fantastic. I'm sorry, Sarah. I skipped you there. I got all higgledy piggledy.
And I think Chris is still on the phone, too.
Oh, that's well,
because you still haven't finished.
Well,
yeah,
I got
he's a little out of it.
No, because I think it's because we. It seems. I don't know. It all went askew.
I don't know what happened.
All right. Have you got all of that, Chris?
Well, all of what? You gave me four things. Is that what you're teasing today?
Yes.
And a Bush watch.
Yes, and a Bush watch.
Okay, a Bush watch. And what about CNN people?
There'll be a couple.
Yeah, sure. We've got
Ed McCarthy.
Ed McCarthy's going to talk about things falling off the space shuttle today. And that's it. That's all I'm teasing.
Okay, so I've got a Bush watch. Ed McCarthy, the superhero stuff commercial at 1 o'clock, vintage Tim sound, the Encyclopedia Emersonia at 2 o'clock, and the Weird Al song.
Yes, no, I'm setting the bar low today.
Weekend Geek, maybe?
Maybe, but no promises for me.
Okay.
All right. That was a great newsman laugh there. Okay. All right, Jenny. It's Weather Guy, actually. But all right. Thank you, sir.
Greg.
All right. I'll talk to you.
I'll call in at about 1 o'clock at the halfway point and give you an update on where you're at.
Yeah, great. That'll be helpful. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
All right. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Wait, real quickly before we... let me play this really quickly, Sarah. Let me just drop the... Hey, that's Chris.
Yep.
Listen to that.
Yes.
This is not a real legal ID. Let's welcome now Bruce Agler, former Godlike Program Director. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wait, here's another one.
From
Hold
my
on.
Archive.
This is actually pretty bad. K-O-T-K. There you go. That's better. That's the one we'll go with. Hello, Bruce.
It's 11 o'clock.
Yes. Seriously, I hear that guy's voice, Casey's voice, pop up on, like, Shucks auto parts commercials and crap every now and again.
Yeah, he does a lot of voice work, all different
freaks me out.
So.
How can I help you,
sir? Casey's a good guy, by the way. You know?
No, he's a great guy.
I miss working with him and Roberta.
I got to tell you, I
got a sign up from Roberta on there.
Really? Mm-hmm. I told this story, actually. I was at a party one time, a Christmas party, and Casey was there. Casey, the guy who used to do the... I don't have it here.
Casey Keating, yeah.
Casey Keating, do we have the?
He's back.
Yeah, I don't have the. He's back here, but he's the guy who did. Okay. He was the voice of KOTK. And I was at a Christmas party one time, and he somehow recognized me from the back or whatever. He caught me. You shut your mouth. But he recognized me. He saw me before I saw him. Is the point? And I hear this voice from behind me. It's Rick Emerson. And it was the weirdest sensation to hear the guy who you've heard doing your voice recorded for like 5 years to have him suddenly behind you in the same room. It's very unnerving.
Well, one of the interesting things about Casey, I guess Roberta as well, although it isn't so unusual with a woman voice talent, but with Casey, is that he sounds exactly the same in person as he does on those liners.
He totally.
A lot of those guys, they kind of put that voice on, but when you talk to them in real life, their voice isn't quite so deep and low.
No, he's got the natural
voice. Exactly the same.
He's got the voice of God.
There's like Gary Owens.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary
Owens
is another one.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Kelly. Have you ever heard Joe Kelly's liners? He's exactly the same. It sounds like he does 100 cartons of cigarettes a day. I don't even know what we're talking about here.
Well, yeah, actually, I got about five other things in my mind from what I originally was calling you about.
Sure.
I actually never did say your show was awful, did I?
Not in those words.
Other people.
I guess it wouldn't hurt to get the things on time. Like, I was thinking you would have actually had the local debut of the Weird Al song if you had actually played it yesterday when you said you were going to.
Yeah, why don't you just give me a paper cut and pour lemon juice in it. Rub salt into that wound.
So none of your people really need to be too upset, I suppose.
No, it is my own fault.
You did have the chance there. What did I call? Oh, I'm actually looking forward to hearing the Tim things. That sounds
exciting. Oh, they're from the days of Bruce Ackler, as a matter of fact.
No, it's great.
It's more recent then. I thought it was going to be more K-Hay stuff. I love the K-Hay stuff.
Well, we've got that, too. We pulled all of those air checks a while back, and we never actually got to them. So we might do that. You know, that'll be one of those days when there's nothing else going on. But we have some vintage KOTK sound from Tim.
Ah, that reminds me. I should dig through my archive someday and see if I think I still have the tapes of when I used to do all the ads for Mike Love's Surf Shop in Santa Barbara.
I don't. Oh, really? The Mike Love?
Yeah, the Mike Love.
That's pretty great.
I actually was his production guy. All of the ads for his surf shop, I did them. Unfortunately, I never got to still meet Mike Love.
Well, all right then.
The reason I called, and I came in the middle of a conversation, so maybe I just heard you guys wrong. Did you guys say the Iranian president was a big fat guy?
No, the Iraqi president.
Well, the Iraqi president. Okay.
He's huge.
Massive. I'm looking at the picture of the Iraqi guy. He's big. Yeah, the Iranian guy is a little shrimp.
Well,
he's a skinny guy.
I sort of thought everybody in the Middle East was really underfed for some reason. I don't know why I thought that.
Well, yeah, the Iranian guy is a very strange looking guy. He's real short.
No, the Iranian guy.
He could pass for the president of Mexico.
The Iranian guy kind of looks like the devil. He's got the really pointed chin.
He looks like one of those short guys with the short guy complex, you know. It looks like he's going to pop you in the mouth for saying anything.
No, the Iranian guy is, and I mean this, of course, only my outside vantage point as a pundit, is sort of great because he's just crazy. You get the feeling, and you said it, that Iranian, and we're talking to Gary Baumgart about this later, that the Iranian guy, you know, how are you? What do you mean by that? Wham! You know, what did you say about my sister? You know, and then he just punched you right in the face. Yeah.
Yeah, looks like he's about to just go off the handle at any given moment.
He was fantastic.
He didn't have that debate with Bush.
Oh, yeah, or just anybody. Well, that's what Pat Buchanan should do. Pat Buchanan should go around the world and debate with people in the stead of George Bush. All right there.
Speaking of which, did you hear the story about Bush at the UN yesterday? They kept trying to hide out so they wouldn't run into the guy in the hallway or going to the bathroom.
Just like ducking, standing on the toilet.
Yeah, they were so afraid that they would run into him going to the bathroom and then there'd have to be some confrontation and that would get reported on. So they actually had to keep hiding W and send him down different quarters and stuff just so that they wouldn't dare run into the Ahmadinejad guy.
I'm picturing a whole weekend at Bernie's thing where they're smuggling him inside a large potted plant or something.
Wearing a Groucho glass.
Totally. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, wait, hold on, let me play this one more. Ladies and gentlemen, with the
KOTK.
Thank you, Bruce Ackler, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Bruce Ackler. All right, and now people are calling about Art Bell. It's 11:25. I've done nothing. Hi, Sarah. How are you doing today?
I'm...
Hey,
wow,
Tim.
Is that whole sandwich gone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you. You were eating.
Oh, sure.
That's exactly what it was. It's not like I forgot you were there. How could I forget you were there? You're a crucial part of the Rick Emerson experience. Your hair looks nice today. Have you lost weight? Your skin has a positively rosy glow.
That's better.
K-O-T-K!
At least don't play the one from yesterday.
What? Oh, you know what I've got? You mean
it's
this?
So awkward.
You're talking about this? Wait, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present the greatest... Oh, that's fantastic. There's nothing better than that. Well, exactly.
I'm big. I'm not going to blow this one.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's so great? Aren't you creeped out?
I just can't possibly imagine what scenario we were engaged in.
Let's move forward. What?
Tim, you remember this. Do you remember a Stan Freeberg bit called John and Marcia?
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. If you know John, I'll bring that in tomorrow. I've got it on vinyl.
It's okay.
Okay. Jesus Christ, have we gotten, is a half an hour gone? What have we done?
We promised nothing and delivered nothing. So that's one positive aspect.
Well, but in a way, that does make us 100% successful, right?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. All the things that we promised were delivered. Sort of. Hey, by the way, Tim wants you to know that at new season, spinach is on sale for 99 cents.
And it's healthy spinach.
Healthy, beautiful local spinach. Not pooped on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll see if John feels really like hanging on here to talk about Coast to Coast AM. We've also got Ed McCarthy, right? Yeah, in a few minutes, talk about things falling off the space shuttle and other space things. We have a little bit of storm news coming up later in this hour as well. Don't forget, that's tonight at Dante's, the Welcome Back Storm Party. We'll talk more about that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Back after this. Don't... Oh, this is so great. This is fantastic. People are now sending me... I would like to encourage this trend, by the way. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. People are now sending me... the description they get on the screen when access to our site is denied. It's fantastic. Let's see. I won't reveal your identity, by the way. So if you work at a place where you can't get rickemerson.com, like you try to log in and it just says no. I used to work at a place that I'll actually say where it was, too, because it doesn't exist anymore. I used to, when I was doing this show from the studios of NBG, which is a downtown studio in Portland, Oregon, where they produced hideous radio programming, which failed miserably. You would try, and this is like in a radio studio, where like you have, look, sometimes you just have to view pornography as part of your job. It is just something one has to do. But no, I would try to go, no, but not even that. Like, I would try to go to, like, FARC. Or I don't even think FARC was around at that point, but whatever the equivalent was. You know, like gossip sites. And just you know, and the thing is, it's so hard to surf safe for work on the net. Because I'm getting off point. Let's talk to Ed McCarthy. We'll come back. I'll talk about surfing, and then I'll read these statements that you get when you try to access rickemerson.com and presumably sarahxdillon.com at some of these places. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. See you in Red Britain. Of course, done. Ed McCarthy, hello, sir.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm marble-mouthed and stupid. How are you?
Oh, I'm about the same. I don't know why. It's just one of those days, I guess.
Bad spinach. By the way, you should know that spinach is... They're happily selling it here in Portland at New Seasons Market. 99 cents each, my friend. Get it while it's there.
It's back, huh?
Yeah, and then right next to that, you know what I like? Here's the thing, and I know that this, I'm turning into Paul Harvey and or Larry King as I continue with this discussion, but you know what I like are Paul Newman products.
I do, too.
I don't know anybody that dislikes Newman's Own food.
Some of it goes to charity. That's good.
And you know, it's because it's good, too. Here's what's good is those Newman's Own chocolate chunk cookies. You want a fine cookie. That's what you should eat. And he's selling something called Newman O's. And I don't know why, but I find that hilarious. The existence of a product called Newman O's is really fantastic to me. I'm going to set this aside and pick some of those up later. 2 for $5, my friend. All right. Let me ask you this. Are things falling off the space shuttle?
You know, that's what we don't know. First of all, they thought it could have been a garbage bag, and I think it's kind of like, you know, when the garbage bag sticks out from underneath of the counter, you know, and you've got a little trash unit in there, and the garbage bag sticks out, and I'm thinking, you know, that would be something in space. We were thinking back to when he lost the bolt on that thing, when they were fastening the whatever it was to the space station.
Well, and they did that twice, 2 days in a row. Crap was falling off the International Space Station, and as one of my listeners noted, the really stupid thing about that, and I realize they're two separate things we're talking about here, but the thing about that is they noted that it's not like on Earth where if you drop a bolt, it rolls away or whatever. It doesn't even float away because there's no gravity, there's no wind, there's whatever. In space, if you drop a bolt, it just stays right there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You have to work really hard, like to 2 days in a row be losing pieces of a space station.
And the other thing to think about, there's so much space debris out there that, you know, it could be something else too, but... they've cleared it, by the way, to land tomorrow. So, you know, they're not concerned because they sent that robotic arm out. They took a look at the underbelly, and they found out that the thermal shields are fine. Everything is good with that. They think it's a piece of plastic that goes into the thing and came out. Remember they had that gap filler thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is kind of like similar thing, except it's a piece of plastic. They think that was floating around. There was a pretty solid explanation today from one of the space managers there, and he said that you know, when the light is reflecting from the sun in space, it can magnify everything. So, you know, whatever you have, it could seem like you maybe have more than you do. But
here's the thing, though. And I don't mean to be some pundit type guy who's reducing everything to just a tiny little oversimplification for comedic purposes. But really,
why not?
But no, I'm just saying. Look, let's be honest. The space shuttle, they've been doing this for like a quarter of a century now. Shouldn't they have it to the point where they know whether things are going to fall off or not?
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty much kind of like having a 54 Buick. If the thing's been sitting out in the yard for a while, you just wonder. I mean, you know, things age.
No, it's what I'm saying.
This has been going for a while, and they're just trying to get through 2010 with this program.
They're just trying to make it all the way. This is like a couple who's already divorced but still living together and just trying not to kill each other for like the 3 months that it takes them to get apartments and move their crap out. That's what it is.
You look at it that way, and it's really funny because they're all, you notice the pressure when there's a problem, and it's like, oh, but we've got to launch. We've got to get this thing into space. We're on a time frame, you know?
Seriously, because they know that, I mean, it's like the money's running out. They're not going to. Here's the other thing, is I also get this feeling with the space program. And again, I should tell you right now that I don't really even care about the space program all that much, because I think there's a lot better ways that they could be spending my money. And there's a whole bunch of crap on Earth they've never even inspected. But I will say this. I mean, I recognize that it's interesting and it's in man's nature to journey and to adventure. And as Aaron Sorkin would say, it's what's next and so forth and all of that. But my thing is, do you get the feeling that the space shuttle program is like a car for which they have discontinued the parts some years ago?
That's the point, yeah. That's Ford Buick syndrome.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And so it's like every time you break something, you got to be real careful, first of all, that you don't chip the paint or anything, because you can't get it anymore. And then if, like, a wheel comes off, you just got to sort of glue it back on and sort of, like, whistle your way past it and hope that no one notices.
I know. Yeah. I think the good thing about going to space is it's another place we can screw up.
Yeah, exactly. See, there you go. That's a comedic capper. I can't top that line, sir. All right, Ed McCarthy, my friend. We will talk to you very soon. Thank you, sir.
You bet, Rick. Take care.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. There you go. Hey, how was Laura this morning?
Not there.
Yeah, that's a loaded question because I knew she was gone. That's why you're so... here's the thing. There was a line of demarcation this morning. I came in and you were sort of silent, not grumpy. And maybe you were grumpy, but I'm saying
We discussed how sometimes I need some...
space.
Space before we talk for 4 hours.
I'm saying you may have been grumpy inside, but I didn't know because I came in and you're all, hey, and I'm all, hey. And then there was you just said nothing else, and you just stared at the computer screen with sort of a blank look.
I'm so glad you know me now.
And then I said...
You don't force conversation. You kept making all these weird noises.
I'm going to go work in my office. And so I just sort of walked away, and then I came back in and just sort of whistled to myself, and just kept myself to myself, as they say. But then you called, and then you picked up the phone, and you're like, God damn, I don't want to talk to Laura at CNN. And I said, isn't she gone today? And then like that, the cloud lifted, and there was sunlight, and you were a happy girl once again. And you washed your hair, too.
And I washed my hair.
You got a good scrubbing, and Laura's gone. It's the best
thing
ever.
I didn't wash it very thoroughly, though, because... See, the color is still...
Well, why would you?
I don't want it to fade.
The thing is just not to use, like, any sort of, like, a... Because the problem is I was using, like, a tea tree shampoo, and you don't want to use that, because it just strips everything right out of your hair. All right,
I did shower in cold water, too. Because the hot water will get rid of the color faster.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were just living in a bad...
No,
Manuel was taking it out on you. You get no hot water today! All right. It's 503-733-2970. I'm going to read some of these things that people get at their office here. And then, hey, Scotty? Wait, hold on. Let me, with the...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount... Squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right. Hello, sir. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Scotty J's looking sharp today.
Okay. With my $9
T-shirt. Oh, wait.
You look like a little mini Rick.
You've got... Thank you. That's exactly how I want to hear Scotty described, a little mini me. Now, did you get your hair cut or did you have more product?
No, I need to get it cut.
All right. Okay.
I seriously do. Before... You know.
Here's the thing with your hair.
I smell my hair today. I washed it.
Smell it.
All right.
Smell the hair.
Smell it.
Fruity.
Okay. The thing, and I know Sarah accuses me of being obsessed with your hair, and it's really only recently since I've noticed that you're...
Since you're getting your own hair.
Since I'm getting my... And it is my own hair, by the way.
Do you want to know what it's like to have to comb it?
Let me ask, run your fingers through it.
Okay, there was no need for that. Now, let me ask you this. If you had fake hair, would you admit it?
Sure.
All right.
Scotty J doesn't have hair.
I'm not saying he does.
I'm telling you now, I think you get... The hair from your mom's
That's an urban legend, though. That's one of the things you learn at the medical hair restoration
seminar. Does your mother's father have a lot of hair?
Well, see, no one can really tell with him, but it's because I thought it was that guy too. I'm like, oh, it's on your mother's side. And they're like, no, and I said, but it's, and they go, no, and they said that that's a benchmark, but it's not definite. In other words, that is an indicator, but it's not always positive. Like, you know what? He could be bald and you could have your hair, or vice versa. It's only accurate like half the time. But here's the thing, It doesn't really apply in my case anyway, because when he was 25, he was sawing a tree and stood too near when it fell. And
oh.
So,
yikes.
They took him out on a skull can. So there's no... My grandfather died very... Like, he was... By the time he was my age, he was already dead for 8 years. So there's really no way to tell there anyway. I'm just saying, because you are very youthful, 40.
Both grandparents had lots of hair.
Well, that's like, you know, Clyde. Yeah. Clyde is that's just now getting a little bit of gray. Now, do you color your hair?
No, but if I used to do the goatee thing, you know, I'm kind of...
You should go do the thing that the engineering department's doing. Do you like the handlebar mustache?
Yeah, get the Hetfield handlebars.
I think Scotty J could pull that off, actually.
No. I'd look like...
Okay, let me just say that. Can I just say this right now? If you got a handlebar mustache, you would look like the gayest person in the history of the world.
We could put a construction helmet on.
Totally. And all you need is like a leather cap with a chain around it. Then you look, and I'm saying this right now, and this is just my observation, just aesthetically speaking. I think you would make a phenomenal gay person. You really would. I mean, no, because you look very youthful for your age. I mean, you got the good hair. And I think, Sarah, I think we can all picture him in the motorcycle outfit. Close your eyes. And there it goes. See, some things you really have to struggle
with. I picture him as a construction worker.
Maybe from the Village People, right?
Maybe you could have a rotating series of costumes.
No, the guy in Dodgeball.
He could be the Indian tomorrow.
Why can't I think of his name? The guy
Vince
in Dodgeball.
Vince Vaughn.
No. The other...
John Favreau. No, that's not him. Is it David Spade?
With the handlebar mustache.
I never saw Dodgeball. Oh, Ben Stiller.
Yes.
No.
That's how I'd look like that.
You don't look like Ben Stiller.
all right. So why did you bring him in here to torture him about his hair?
Really? Yeah. Not that I'm encouraging people to Photoshop Scotty into a Village People outfit. That would be wrong.
And we wouldn't make it our MySpace.
Of course not. Oh, yeah. That's, man. Whatever you do, I know you have a lot of free time out there. Whatever you do, don't take Scotty's face and make him one or all of the Village People.
Oh, my God. If someone could get five Scotties in a row and all the different...
Whatever you do, don't take the cover of the Village People's Cruisin' album or perhaps the Live and Sleazy album and make Scotty J all of the Village People.
And don't do it while you're at work.
No. You really shouldn't do that. Hey, I brought you... This is actually just a bit of business. I brought you in. We're going to talk to this guy, Seamus.
Okay.
And I forgot to email this to you. So do you want to write down that phone number and get him? We'll talk to him in a couple minutes. He's one of the guys. He was a moderator for a long time. I don't think he is now, but not about an administrator on StormLarge.com. And he has...
Nice guy. He just sent me an email yesterday.
He's a really cool guy. Long-time listener, too. He actually has listened to...
Doesn't he live in a different state?
He moved. But remember we did that kids giving auction where people were, you know, very... Mm-hmm. It was a very cool thing, raising money for the kids and da-da-da-da. And he was one of those guys that paid like $5,000 for an hour of Clyde Lewis's time, which I think he never got because they fired us all.
Oh.
But then he moved to like Phoenix or some crap. He's moving back. Anyway, long-time listener, happens to have been an administrator of StormLarge.com, but he's got sort of 1.5 cool bits of storm news for us today.
Excellent.
And then, of course, tonight is the Welcome Back Storm Party.
Starting at 8.
So if you can go wrangle him on the phone, we'll talk to him in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Thanks, Scotty.
And it's a compliment, by the way. That's all I'm saying. All right.
A compliment that you look gay.
No, I'm just saying.
It is. You're a pretty man.
Everybody can't say that about some other people. All right. Sorry, just kind of... I had a little belch there. Sorry about that. All right. People are now sending us... let's see... I will not name you if you send us the information about how your place of work blocks one or more of our web pages here, because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But we've got, this is the first one. Rick, where I work, Quest blocks you with the following phrase. Accessed, I'm going to put these into some sort of a montage, not a montage, a collage, put them on the web page. Access denied by smart filter. Forbidden. This page, rickemerson.com. is categorized as, what do you suppose, Sarah, the two adjectives that they're using to describe this is, and again, these are all different. Everybody blocks things differently. But this particular person, her company blocks RickEmerson.com by categorizing it with two adjectives. What do you suppose they are?
Inappropriate and pornographic?
No, no, but you're kind of in the ballpark. Tasteless? Which is fantastic.
Tasteless?
Which is fantastic. And I'd like to know who determines that, by the way. I'd like to know who's, like, who sits...
Who says that?
Well, and my thing is there a sort of blocking czar? Is there someone who sits in an office somewhere and sifts through skillions of web pages, hundreds of millions of web pages, just to determine how they're going to be catalogued? So our website is categorized as tasteless slash gross. Which, because we're all five. It's totally gnarly as well and bitchin'. So Quest apparently blocks us with tasteless slash gross. What else do we have here? Rick, this is from somebody else. Access to RickEmerson.com has been denied. Your request was denied because this web page is, and then it says, music slash web radio. Also, because they think it's like a streaming kind of, they think we're providing audio content or something like that. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here?
Tasteless and gross.
Well, it's bizarre. Rick. Oh, this is, I won't say what company this is either. This is a guy who works at a prominent industrial firm here in Portland. We'll call it that. Rick. This is what it says. He has a screenshot here where a program called WebSense or a company called WebSense blocks us. And it just says, our company's internet use policy restricts access to RickEmerson.com at this time because we fall into the... something telling about the American business system. It blocks us because we fall into the category of entertainment. Thou must never be entertained ever. Ever at all. So because we fall into, let's see, what else do we have here? Here's another one. My company blocks you, Rick, because your site apparently contains, you guess one of them, pornographic slash gruesome. Again with the gruesome. Gruesome content. Jesus. All right. And I'll just say this one. Aaron is...
You look like you're getting all worked up about this.
It's just, it's a mystery to me because I don't know how...
Well, I don't know where the tasteless and gross came from.
I really don't know. And I don't know how they determine this either. I've talked about when I lived in Utah, there was this woman who was the porn czar. And that's exactly what they called her. She was the porn czar. And her job, literally, was to sit in a room. And she was, by the way, she was, and I know this sounds like a joke, but I was telling this story long before the movie ever came out. She was... a 40-year-old virgin, by her own admission. She was very strongly religious. She was a member of the predominant faith in Utah, which she was a Mormon, a Latter-day Saint. I forget her name, actually. It was like Debbie something or other. But she was a huge, fat woman, lots of makeup. I mean, and she was really an unpleasant woman to look at anyway. It was really just like, it's like putting makeup on an emu. There was just no point. She was a big woman. Like bleachy gold blonde kind of hair. She was 40 years old. She was, by her own acknowledgement, a virgin, but she was the porn czar for Utah. The whole thing just sounds like a retarded joke. They've actually eliminated her position now. But her job, quite literally, was to sit in an office all day long and to sift through so-called pornographic websites, magazines, and movies, and then determine, because Utah has very strict porn laws, and I thought that you can't get real porn there. It's all that cable porn, which is no good. And her whole job was to sit in an office and to determine what was pornographic and what was merely sort of erotic. I mean, I said at the time, and I say again now, that somebody could have done a whole documentary about that woman. Because this, and what you, the logo already, it does itself. It says, instead of porn star, it would just be porn czar in like the same font. That's one of those Sundance documentaries right now. I'd pay to see that. Fat 40-year-old virgin sitting in an office sifting through pornography. I mean, it was just so perfect and weird and ironic and Kafka-esque. The whole thing was insane. All right. Anyway, let's see. What have we got here? I got to close this picture of Bush and the Iraqi president.
It is very distracting.
It's distracting me. I'm going to read one more here, then we'll talk to this to our friend Seamus here, who has some little bits of storm news. Rick, My husband, I will not identify this person, my husband has this job. Oh, this is the screening porn sites. Really? He's an HR investigator type. He writes the wrist-slapping and shame-on-you letters when employees are bad. One day he went into work on a Saturday because he had to go over 300 porn sites and print the main page as evidence against an employee. A supervisor can order the computer records, including every keystroke, website, and every email sent or received, and the computer geeks will print it out. Then someone like my husband goes to every website to verify if they should have been going there or not. Creepy much? Yeah. One of my favorite rule breakers. It's good that he keeps this information confidential, by the way, just going home and sharing it. One of my favorite rule breakers was regularly visiting a MILF site, sometimes on off hours. Oh, by the way, she says Sarah's site is still accessible at my workplace.
Yay!
For now. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up later on. We got the Gary Baumgarten coming up. We have, what else? Oh, we have the Encyclopedia Emersonia. That's at 2. And at 1 o'clock, we'll talk superhero stuff. I don't have a sounder here. Do I have any sort of a noise for this? Wait, hold on. We have... Oh, this is Scotty's new breastfeeding sounder.
What's the...
Oh, I've never heard that before.
That's awful.
Apparently, it's a child suckling on a cyborg. Let's hear that one. Scotty, maybe...
What's with the pogo stick,
maybe
Scotty?
Your understanding of the female breast differs from mine.
He does
Scotty.
Have children.
Wait for it. There you go. Thank you.
That makes me want to throw up.
Yeah. And you know, isn't it weird? Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this one breastfeeding question real quickly, sir.
Seriously, why?
Does it sort of... Why am I asking
yes.
it? Because it's curious to me. Because, look, because here's the thing. Because breastfeeding is one of those things... Breastfeeding is one of those things, you know, like having a child... feed on me is a thing that I could never do, ever. And I mean never do it like, well, I could never go to Thailand for a vacation. That's too stressful. Or like, you know, I could never bring myself to watch 2 and a Half Men. I mean, I could never do it like it's impossible. I can't do it. Does it weird you out to know that really, all things being equal, if you wanted to, it is possible that like 6 months from now, you could be a breastfeeder?
Oh.
It's just a weird sensation,
it's
isn't
just,
it?
No.
It's weird to know that you could reproduce if you wanted to.
It is.
But, like, you could have a little miniature Sarah in, like, 9 months if you really put your mind to it.
That is weird. It's weird to think of something growing inside of you, and then you have to, like, shove it out. And, like, it's growing in this, like, little pod, and then your body turns against you, and you, all of a sudden you develop,
no,
like...
No,
like, milk things.
Milk things.
And then you get holes, and, you know...
I don't think you get holes.
Well, I don't understand.
You don't. Didn't you? I mean, look. I know you went to a public school, but
I don't. You don't have holes in the middle of your nipples. I don't know. I'm confused. Breastfeeding.
What? Look, when a man and a woman hug each other in a very special way.
I'm just saying something with teeth latching onto you and sucking from you. It's just I couldn't do it.
I can already feel this. I can see if you close your eyes. You can see the show turning like a barge and heading down a really unpleasant river of talk.
No, it's like Seamus.
All right. Let's see. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, good friend Seamus. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to horrify you, sir. Hey, can I use your... How do you pronounce your last name, if I can say it?
Yes, Fromke.
Fromke. Seamus.
Yeah.
By the way, here's what I think of whenever I type your name in, because it's spelled S-E-U-M-A-S. And that is an Irish name?
Irish or Scottish. I'm German, so.
Some damn place. Here's what I think of, actually, because Seamus is, you know, you've been a long-time listener, and you and I have been emailing him for a long time, and you were good enough to buy. What did you buy for the Entercom Kids Giving Auction?
You know, I think it was time on Ground Zero.
And it was like thousands of dollars. And did you ever get that?
You know, I didn't. You guys kind of went off the air.
Yes. There you go.
Same week I went to Denver, too.
It's one to grow on. Here's the thing is, we used to run this commercial, and I will not say for what company it was for, but we used to run a commercial at Entercom that had a woman doing the worst Irish accent I have ever heard in my life. Ever. ever. And it was like a whole lot of like, well, heavens be praised, Blarney me stone, Seamus. And the guy in the commercial was named Seamus. And I remember you sending me these long screeds about how they were defiling your name by having it used to sell. It was for a, and I won't say who it was for. But anyway, so that's what I think of whenever I see your name, because it's a weird-looking name. You, people, though, may be familiar with you if they spend any time on stormlarge.com, because until recently you were, what is it, a moderator or administrator? You were doing something there.
Yeah, you know, I just dropped by to see what was going on with Storm when I found out she was going to be on Rockstar, and got sucked in, and next thing I knew, I was doing admin work there and keeping people on the ball.
Keeping people on, because you got, because you do a lot of web stuff anyway. You do like the gothic, you run some gothic sites, right?
I run gothic auctions.
And which is, it's like where they just auction off, I guess, gothic. Not gothic women, but gothic, like, stuff, right?
Yes. It's basically eBay, but, you know, not eBay.
Okay.
Meaning it's free and we don't screw you over.
Okay. So here's the thing. So it's, we have one and a half small pieces. The reason we brought you on those two things. A, just to share with people, that you, is it still, you recently registered, is it wrongsauce.com?
Yeah, I registered. I really didn't have a reason for it.
Is this just a screw with Tommy Lee?
I figured with his really limited Coco-esque lexicon that it might be the only option he could come up with for the new band.
I don't think
it would be great if he had to screw with me to get it.
And so, as soon as the news came down that they couldn't call themselves Supernova, Seamus and the was like, I just registered wrongsauce.com. I'd like to see that Tommy Lee try to use it. And, of course, somebody noted, by the way, that you can't... Somebody noted that... There's this unspoken rule in rock and roll that your band's name cannot itself contain the word rock. That there just is something. I actually know a guy, my friend Jay, actually threw a huge fit when they were naming the band that became Emerson Starship, because I wanted them to be Raiders of the Lost Rock. And he actually threatened to quit the band. He's like, I will not be in a band whose name contains the word rock. So he just threw this whole fit about it. So there's that. The second thing is, and if you go to rickemerson.com right now, you will see a great picture of Storm Large and her fiancé, Davey Nepples, musical director for the Balls. Hmm?
Huh?
If you go to rickemerson.com, it's a great picture of Storm and Davey. And it's a picture of Storm and Davey on vacation. And I just, and the only reason I'm doing this is because I do want to give a shout out to, you know, because I always say how we got the best fans and our fans are fantastic. But you know what? Those guys, Storm and the Balls, have got fantastic fans as well, yourself included. So, just real quickly, if you can tell us, what is the origin of this picture of Storm and Davey?
We, probably the day after we found out she was on her way home, or she would be home within about a week, we all started getting, brainstorming some ideas, and somebody suggested, hey, we should, give them a chance to kind of get away and be alone for a while as soon as they get back. And I talked with Davey about it, and he thought that was pretty cool, and so we went ahead with it.
And so this is what you guys, like, did you guys raise money, or you guys toss money together to get them a vacation somewhere?
I just posted a message suggesting, hey, if anybody wants to PayPal me some money, we'll put it together. I'll arrange for a breakfast I know down there. And within a day, we were basically raising up for that and a bunch of flowers and, you know, dinners and stuff down there. So we got them all taken care of.
Because I know that they were very much into the storm, needed to decompress when she got back at the town. So, well, it's very cool. So you can go to stormlarge.com. Of course, there's a great community there. But if you go to rickemerson.com, you can see this fantastic picture of the two of them. And so just I wanted to have you on to give all of those guys on her website. It's just a big shout out. It's a very cool thing to do. Just totally unbidden, asked of no one. Just totally. It was an idea just somebody had, and the fans got together and they did this cool thing for Storm and Davey. So it's all good. When do you move back to town, brother? You're going to miss the Storm welcome back party tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to miss it. I'm trying to get my employer to send me back by July when my lease is up here at the apartment. But
I find that a gun helps in such negotiations.
Well, you know, I had the fire department visit me yesterday morning, so I may be moving back a lot sooner than I think.
Fantastic. Excellent. In the meantime, I'll go check out gothicauctions.com. Seamus, brother, thanks, man.
Take it easy.
All right, there you go. We appreciate it. There you go. There's Seamus Frumke from gothicauctions.com. That's a great picture of Storm and Davey.
Yeah, it is.
It really, that is...
I like your sunglasses.
Well, they just sicken me. They're the most photogenic couple. I mean, really, and it's just true. And I know that sounds fruity, but, you know, there's some people, it's like impossible to take a bad photo of them. Whereas me, like, you go to the top of that page where there's the black and whites of you, me, and Tim, and it's like the one good photo that's ever been taken of me. And so I can, and even that's not that great, but that's like the one decent photograph. Jason Crump managed to take one good shot of me. That's the only one I can ever use. I can never change it. So anyway, All right. Don't forget, the Welcome Back Storm Party is tonight at Dante's. 6 to 8, they're doing like a press thing, and that part's invite only, I think. But then at 8 o'clock, they open it to the people. So that's tonight at Dante's. If they want to do this, we'll break. We'll come back with the AM 970 noon news hour. Later on, we got Gary Baumgarten coming up. We'll talk about the Encyclopedia Emersonia later on. We'll do the top five, all of that. Week in Geek coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.